Have you tried changing your health year on year, resolving that this year things are going to be different, but nothing seems to change? Oftentimes, when things are not changing, we are following many wellness myths and not looking at the full picture, including our nutrition, recovery, stress management, leaving out mind-body connection. I want to introduce you to Wellness Redefined, a new podcast from Rufilion Media that's here to dispel all your myths about wellness and fitness while sharing stories of how we've redefined what it means to be healthy. On each episode, we'll be talking to experts from all walks of life who will share their own unique wellness journey and offer their perspective. I am your host, Tamika Rochester, founder and CEO of Harlem Cycle, a premier wellness space in New York City with a focus on indoor cycling. I've been an advocate for wellness since as early as I can remember. So if this sounds like something that could help change your life, go ahead and pause the show you're listening to and subscribe to Wellness Redefined on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, hello, hello.
Check, one, two.
Check, one, two.
Check. Let me tell you something funny.
What?
So I don't have a car right now. Colby came to the house. We filmed a instructional video on the kettlebell swing.
Mm-hmm.
And then he drove me to Gina's. We can podcast. And he looks over and he's like, is that a Boochcraft? And I go, no, it's a Diet Coke. I said, I'm trying to wean myself.
Oh.
I was like, I can't work out really hard. And, you know, and then I walk in Gina's door and we're laughing about this show she's watching, which we're going to talk about today. And she goes, hey, you want some rosé? And I was like, yeah.
It's just like instantly. I know. I'm like the bad influence.
No, it's
it's Yuck Yuck Sunday.
And it's delicious. Okay, that was my funny. I think it's funny. Funny story how it's like, I'm like, no, Coke, Diet Coke. And then Gina's like, you want some rosé? And I was like, absolutely.
your willpower. Say less. Your willpower just like goes out the window.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys, I was waiting for Brooke to get here. Oh, hey, by the way, welcome to Between the Reps with Brooke and Gina.
Welcome back.
Hey. Brooke walks in and I was waiting for her and I had like 15 minutes. So I was like, oh, you know, I'll see what's on. And I go on Hulu and it's called The Final Member. And
leave it to Gina to find the weirdest shit.
Always.
Dude.
So I click on it and it's about this guy. Are you taking a picture of Maggie?
Yeah.
Oh.
She looked really cute.
Oh.
A video actually.
Oh, okay.
Keep going.
Okay. So I look at the description and it says this guy has the only penis museum in Iceland. So I was like, oh yeah, sure. I'll watch it. And you guys, this show is so funny to me. This guy was given, you should honestly watch it if you want to be entertained.
Wait, I just want to say, I walk in and she goes, oh, dude, I am watching the weirdest documentary. And I'm like, not surprised. I'm like, what's it about? She goes, this guy collects penises. I'm like, what the fuck? And he's like on this journey. He's not going to stop until he gets a human one.
Right. It's just getting crazier. So we actually paused it.
But right, start from the top.
All right. So this guy was given, I mean, from what I can remember, I'm terrible at remembering things. But so he basically was given a bull penis when he was like 17. And so it somehow, I think it was like as a joke, but he became obsessed with collecting penises. And he's been married for like 52 years. His wife, his kids were just used to him bringing home different animal penises and putting them in formaldehyde and leaving them around his house.
Oh,
so then
I haven't watched any of this. What?
Yeah. So then they encouraged him to open up a museum basically to just get the penises out of the house.
Yeah.
Because they were everywhere. So he opens up this museum. I think it was in like 97 or something.
He has a dinner party. Everyone's like, actually, can I do it at my house? It's more centrally located to everybody. No, it's not because we don't want to come over there.
So then,
be surrounded constantly at just a bunch of dicks staring at you floating in formaldehyde.
So then he opens up his museum, and his whole thing is that my museum will not be complete until I have a human penis. And then it goes into like the logistics of like how hard it is to get a human penis, because most people want to be buried with their penis. And he even says, he's like, you know, a lot of people will be buried without a kidney. It's not a big deal, but apparently getting a penis is very hard. So no pun intended.
And it can be very hard.
Yeah. And so then he ends up, this really old man wants to donate his penis after he's dead. And it's this guy who's basically super misogynistic and wants his penis to go down in history. And he's bragging about how big it is and how many women he's had. Apparently like 400 and something.
Whoa.
Yeah. And so there's a part where they're casting this old man's penis. So he's got this clay stuck to his penis and they're trying to cut it off. And he's like,
the clay, not the penis.
No,
right?
Not the penis.
He's like, take it.
Yeah. And so, but then
it's tired.
But then there's apparently a rule. In Iceland, there was a woman years ago that wanted to divorce her husband because it was only 3 inches or 3 thumbs, as they said back then.
Okay.
And that it needed to be at least 5 thumbs or 5 inches
to divorce him.
Well, no, she wanted to divorce them because it was too small.
Okay.
So then it became a known thing that it had to be of legal length.
Oh my God. Legal
it has
length.
To be. Yeah.
Legal length. I'm sorry.
So basically that's where the legal.
Whose thumb are we measuring it with? Because it's legal if you
I have really
it
big
mine.
Thumbs.
So do I.
Yeah. So it could be, it could be bad for someone. So,
legal length.
So then it ends up that this guy has to, or the museum guy wants at least a legal length penis. So he wants a 5-inch penis at least for his display. And so then they're trying to cast this old man's penis and he's trying to get the guy to make his penis longer so it can, you know, be the legal length.
Yeah.
And it's clearly, it's questionable. They basically put his penis like on a scale on the TV and it has a question mark above it. So then there's
like,
some guy.
I swear I used to be much larger.
I know. So then there's a guy in California that hears about this penis museum and he really wants his penis to be in this museum. He wants to be the first human penis. So now the guy that owns the museum is talking to the Icelandic guy, the older guy, who has the questionable length. And
legal length.
The other guy basically like upped the ante or ante.
The ante.
So this other guy in California, he really wants to be the first guy. So he's literally, Colby actually brought this to my attention because I missed it because I wasn't watching it, you know, the whole time. This other dude wants to donate his penis before he's dead.
Yeah, I thought I heard that.
Yeah. So he...
Because he doesn't want to miss the opportunity.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
He doesn't want to miss it. And he's like, I just, you know, what am I going to do with my penis when I'm dead? I just, you know, want it to go down in history. So now, so the best part, well, I don't know if this is the best part, is that the museum owner is interviewing the other dude, like basically telling him like, well, there's competition.
Oh.
This other guy's willing to take
like
his dick out.
Stretching before. It, putting it on a stretcher, like rolling it out with a rolling pin.
This guy.
I can make it longer, I swear.
This guy is willing to have his dick removed before he's dead, basically just to be the first guy. And then the old guy goes, well, shit. like you know, he's thinking about it. Like,
I'm
well,
not
fuck.
Dead yet.
Yeah. Like, what am I gonna have to do?
Oh my God.
So I haven't. That's about as far as I've gotten. Oh, actually, no. So then the American guy is. There's a scene where he's getting his dick tattooed.
Okay.
Assuming that he will be the first guy in the penis museum. Yeah. And Colby and I are watching it.
What did he tattoo on it?
The very head of his dick is like the American flag.
Oh!
You can't make this shit up. Like, what the fuck? And that, my friends, is a Yuck Yuck Sunday rolled all into one. So yeah, I'm just curious to see what's going to happen. I wish I had time to watch the whole thing before we had to do this podcast, because
then she could really give you all the information so none of you have to watch it.
Or maybe you guys will all want to look up Final Member on Hulu.
Or we just like pause the podcast, finish the episode and come back. We just pause it, watch like 10 minutes, come back on. All right, this is what happens next.
It is unreal. It is unreal. I mean, there would never be, I can't say this. No, I can say it. But I don't know because I don't have a penis. But I feel like men's attachment to their penis might be, I would never donate my vagina to seen.
Could you say like similar, like, oh wait, no, never mind.
What?
Well, I was going to say like similar to maybe women with their breasts, but that depends because if you are...
You don't have to get them cut off. You can have those.
No, but some do.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah. But then I was thinking like, cause you have, you know, he, she, they, mm-hmm. lots of this. It's, some people have no attachment to boobs.
Right.
And some, it's like different, just people and, you know, depends on the person. I don't know. Hey, Colby, how attached to your penis are you?
He's pretty attached.
You literally are attached to it. How much money could someone pay you to have your dick removed? If they could attach like a really awesome prosthetic dick that was working.
He said no way in hell. Okay, but we're talking about men. Like one guy is in his 80s, one guy is in his 60s. Maybe 60s or 70s. Do you think 70s?
I'm like, you know better than me.
I was kind of in and out, but.
I turned around and heard whatever his name was. And he's like, I'm from America. Clearly he tattooed an American flag on the tip of your
dick. Yeah. And I keep saying the best. A really good part is that the museum guy keeps really wanting, because they're in Iceland, he really wants an Icelandic person to represent, you know, the museum. But he's very conflicted because this other dude has a bigger dick.
And he really wants it to
he
be
wants a
legal
bigger one.
Length.
Yeah, he wants it to be at least 5 inches.
Dude, what would you have tattooed on your penis? I feel like I would have put like made in America.
I mean, like, I don't know. Like, I honestly thought
the
he was
American
like.
American flag. That's so much needlework for the color.
No, it was the whole head.
Yeah. I'd be like, just write, just like put, you know, just a letter.
I probably would have put my name.
Yeah.
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 Like, yeah, this is my dick.
Yeah.
But no, he got the American flag. So, you know, he's a patriot.
Yep. The things you do for this country. Just dropping dong so everybody knows.
Well, and he even said, the guy goes, you know, I would love to know that my dick was viewed for 1,000 years. I thought, wow, that's how you want to be immortalized. Okay.
It's like, that's how I want to be remembered. By my member.
By my member.
Remember me by my member.
So yeah, I'm curious to see how it ends.
How long is it? How long is the documentary?
I don't know. Here, give me the thing.
How far in are you?
I don't know.
She is 30 minutes
in. Oh, there's... I'm 30 minutes in. It's got 40 minutes left.
The final member.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that guy.
I know.
Nice comb over.
Comb over. Man.
He's a nail biter for sure. She's like got the TV paused on him on the phone.
I haven't gotten to the point.
He's definitely in his 70s.
I don't know if he's... Wait,
is that the American
Hey, Colby,
guy?
Did you see? Is he married? I wonder if his wife's okay with him getting rid of his dick already.
Maybe he's gotten a lot of use out of it, and maybe it doesn't work anymore. And instead of like trying
to... Oh, no. They want it like hard for the cast.
Yeah, they just pump it full of...
They were trying to get it hard for the old dude, and he...
Dude, I just had the grossest visual. Oh my God.
It was such an awkward scene. This like poor little old man is like laying on his back and telling the guy that's casting his dick like to make it longer and get it harder.
Oh my God. I'm just picturing like a very, okay. You want me to tell you what I'm picturing?
Yeah.
Fuck, it's gross, guys. But it's what I'm thinking about. Like a for sure it's like a cartooned, like little old.
No, he is this like cute little old man. Yeah, like he wears a bow tie
I'm
all the time.
The penis.
Uh-huh.
And okay. I'm picturing it as a worm. And like a very old, tired worm. And he's just like
a little
hey.
Face on it.
Yeah, and like, you know, just laying over on those bean bags. But clearly hanging like way off of them because he said he's, you know, legal length. And then he's like, make it harder. And they're just like trying to like stroke it. And it's like. Gross.
No, the poor little cast. It looked very small.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, it was it's a, you know, interesting.
She'll watch anything.
We'll watch anything.
She 100% will watch anything. And I appreciate it. Because I won't on my own. Like if I were home right now.
Yeah. Like you actually like look up on things and you're like, oh, this is how it's
I'm interested.
This much on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like, I care. It's almost like I care more about like a rating on Rotten Tomatoes when I'm like, I want to enjoy a movie with people that I'm watching it with. It's like, if we're going to watch a movie and I'm interested in it and the people that I'm with or person or whatever, it's not something that's up their alley. I don't have fun. It's no longer fun for me. Cause I'm like,
and I don't care at all.
I'm like,
we're on this journey together.
Yeah. But like, that's why we're life. That's why you're my soulmate. I'll be on any journey with you, dude. I'll watch.
You've had to watch terrible movies with me.
Well, we enjoy terrible movies.
Although I will say, there are some movies that are rated really well that are awful.
We watched a movie the other night.
The Swarm.
You guys, it's a French film dubbed over. Was it on Apple? Where did we watch it from?
I don't remember.
Amazon? I don't know.
I don't remember.
One of them. One
Netflix.
Of the one of the platforms.
It was Netflix.
Called The Swarm.
She was like, oh, it's like 88%.
I think it was 100%
oh,
on the
no,
tomato
you're right.
meter.
No,
it
you're
was
right.
100%. And I looked at her and I was like, okay, that means... It's either really good or god awful. Because critics, like what gets rated that high, it's too artistic.
Yes.
Trying too hard.
Yeah.
You know, and for some people, that's what they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be entertained. I also love like deep movies and I like a really good storyline, especially it was a horror film. And we watch a lot of horror movies.
Love.
And I feel like more times than not, especially because after so much time that was spent in the home after the last couple of years.
In the home.
Well, one, I get really bummed because 9 times out of 10, when I'm sleeping over at Gina's, which is a lot, okay? And I'm like, we are going to bed and we're like, okay, we're going to watch a scary movie? Yes. And I'm like trying to find one. She goes, find one. And I'm like trying to find one. I was like, ooh, what about this? She goes, I've seen it. Oh, what about this? Oh, I've already seen it. What about this one? Oh, fuck. I've seen it. And there's been times where
I watch way too much TV.
She feels so bad. Like she wants me to be excited about us watching something for the first time that she'll lie to me.
I will.
I'm like, oh, no, I've never seen it. And then like partway in, she like outs herself.
Yeah, because I'm not smart enough to like know.
And then lucky, like when I'm lucky, there's a movie that she can't remember if she's seen it.
That's
and
true.
We'll watch it, and she goes, "Oh no, I've seen it." But she want, and I'm like, "Well, let's change it." It's like I'm not interested anymore. Like I want to watch something with you for the first time. But there are times where, because she'll watch stuff and do other things. Like she'll have a show on where
I like TV as a background.
She like half ass listens to it or watches it.
Yeah.
So at least there's that, because then I can, you know, even if she's seen it or like under, like kind of knows what's going on, she has not paid attention to it. So
it's like watching it for the first time.
I still get to watch it with her for the first time. For the half time. But yeah. Leave it to Gina she will watch
anything.
Anything I walk in. Oh man, you got to see this documentary I'm watching. What's it about? This guy collects penises? What? Yeah, he's on this like this search to get his collection will not be complete until he has a human penis. And it's very difficult to get one.
Well, I really do love
until
a documentary.
You go to America.
I actually watched another documentary that was really good and I can't remember the name of it, but I think I don't know what platform it was on, but Gina Davis, I don't know if she produced it or she did the study on it, but it's basically like women in Hollywood.
Okay.
And so
that would be really interesting.
It was really interesting. And it was talking about basically how women are not represented in Hollywood. And what was interesting about it also is that you find out that Rotten Tomatoes is 77, I could be wrong, 77, 78% men.
Wait, like people that...
So the people
that are like the critics,
no, the people
like
that are the critics
okay.
are men are 77 to 78% men. Wow. So you would,
because they're like women aren't funny,
right? Or yeah. Women, you know, can't do great films. And there was a part in there too that was showing that women who have, you know, received Oscars for movies. What is the movie? It's a war movie. God, it got
new or old.
What?
New or old?
Older, not old like my old.
Oh yeah.
Not like Full Metal Jacket old, but like shit. What was it called? Anyway, I can't remember. But this woman was like the first woman to receive Best Director, and she still couldn't get her movies made after that.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. I think a very small percentage of women, maybe like 9% of women that actually direct movies get, you would assume that they would automatically get a second deal.
Yeah.
Or a second job. Mm-hmm. And they can go with, you know, 9 years without getting another directing job.
That's insane.
It is insane. And then they were interviewing a bunch of women, female actresses, saying how many times have you had females on the set? And I think Natalie Portman was one, and maybe Reese Witherspoon. And they were saying maybe they could count it on one hand. And that's everyone. And there was one that I think it was Chloe. Oh, I can't remember her last name. Anyway, there was this one actress that was saying that there was a time when she was, it was the remake of Carrie.
Okay.
Okay. So I think I told you this, but there, you know, she was raised in a very religious home and she gets her period for the first time. And she was going over like, you know, how would I feel getting my first period? And her and the female director had basically come to an agreement of how that would feel. Mm-hmm. And all these men interjected like, no, it should be this or it should be that.
Oh my God.
And it's so interesting that men would have
an opinion.
An opinion or input of how
fucking
this girl,
standard,
this woman
dude.
Would go
standard.
Through her first
hey, sorry,
period.
Sorry guys, and our listeners. First of all, the fact that you're male and you listen to this.
Yeah, we're not assuming that you're misogynistic.
Yeah, we actually, you're not.
But I mean, you might, but
I also assume,
but
that
it might also make you think that maybe you shouldn't have an opinion.
Yeah. And I assume if you're a male listener of ours, one, we love you. Two, the fact that you listen to this podcast you're automatically in a much different category in my mind than anyone we are now currently discussing. Fucking standard, dude.
Yeah. So how crazy is that?
So, okay, this is a thought. I'm just going to share a thought with you. Could be an assumption, probably. And I'm gonna work through my thought on the podcast.
Out loud.
Yep. Standard.
Not in your mind.
No. I'm going to get it out.
Okay.
Producing a movie or a show or whatever, money, right?
Right.
I just feel like women band together to have more money to be able to help produce a lot of this shit. Cause like, I feel like nowadays the way this fast is they're just pumping out garbage shows on like episodic shows on Netflix, Amazon, Apple, Hulu, fucking Peacock. Peacock? Is that new? I mean, I finally got it because Gina was like, I watched Dr. Death. I was like, what platform?
There's not, yeah.
Peacock. Like, what? But there seems that there's like so many opportunities to be able to like create and get your ideas out and be creative. But it's still, when it comes down to it, it's like what's promoted is that women, yeah, they can do it. But when it comes down to it, it's like, nah.
Exactly.
And then what I find so, okay, I'm not all for just put women in. Like now we have to prove a point that we're all for women. So like for instance, Ocean's 8 doing remakes of like the Ghostbusters to have an all female cast. Come on.
Just start your own thing.
How about just make a film with a different storyline that might have some strong women in it? Instead of remaking classic films to prove a point that women can do it too.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So stupid. And I'm a woman. And I think that there should be more women portrayed, more often and like having roles. It's like
strong.
And strong. It's like I have the same feeling of when you watch a war film or an action film and they've got women doing things that no fucking way could that girl, should they be, play that role. With that said, it's kind of like when I did Wonder Woman, right? I still get it. It's like, you should have been Wonder Woman. And I said, well, yeah, that'd be very cool. That would be so cool. You look because of my, because people are the, my fans,
physical,
but also if we're just going to say like what
physicality,
like physical and my ability to move and I get that 100%, but even me to like in response to a lot of people is this like, yes, I hear you. I agree with you. I think that would be so cool. I would love that opportunity. But it makes also sense that like you have to be able to act too. You know, you can't just look the part for something. You need the opportunity. So there's like the thing where it's like, who's going to get the opportunity?
Right.
Who's been around longer? Who's like hotter? Or
well, but what's a also, safer bet? You also can't take away from the people that have, because if you're really empowering women, Gal Gadot, beautiful woman, amazing woman.
Just the sweetest
How would you not support her in that role?
Yes, exactly.
And just because she doesn't look like you wouldn't mean that you would think, oh, you know, she doesn't look strong. She doesn't look this or that.
And the thing too is it's like, well, if you have superpowers, it doesn't really matter what your size or what you look like.
Right.
But there are,
I mean, she's got a lasso.
Are instances where I've watched a movie and it's like, I can't even take this seriously. Like, there's no way that woman with zero muscle on her body is fighting off those giant men. Like in my, it's like, I just,
well, unless you have superpowers.
Yeah. Unless you have superpowers.
Yeah.
It's like, it doesn't mean that I'm not supportive of like this woman playing that role. It's more like, I wonder the amount of women that didn't get the chance to play that role because they're seen as being too muscular or too big or not pretty enough or whatever. And it's so funny because like I do try to understand and see things from different people's perspectives and understand like the business of the whole thing. And so I get it, you know? In fact, okay, I think I actually said this. Dude, when I was on the Justice League set, first of all, I 100% enjoyed my time filming Justice League with Zack Snyder and his entire production team. They were incredible, way more than doing Wonder Woman. And I loved it. But I remember like sitting and waiting. And like the thing is like, I'm so low. Like I was like the lowest on the totem pole. This is my second job ever in entertainment. And I remember sitting and we were filming this. If you guys have watched the Justice League, if you have not, watch it. Skip the first one that came out. Just watch the
Zack Snyder
cut. Just watch the Snyder cut.
So good.
It was done the way it was supposed to be done. And it was it's a very good movie. Yes, it's long, but it does not feel long because Zach, he, incredible director.
Well, he develops all the characters more.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I'm sitting there and it's me and my friend Harry. We're both in dressed full kit and we're doing the scene where like the mother box is like coming alive and you've got all of these Amazons surrounding like guards, right? They're surrounding in like tiered levels this room that we're in. And you have the focus is down in this conversation with like the main Amazons in that scene, discussing like what do they do, right? Like what's happening. And they're shooting and I'm sitting next to Zach and me and Harry and he's in his director chair and he's got his screen so he can actually see what it's going to look like, which is a very cool experience, by the way. Mind-blowing. And I just finally asked him, I was like, because I'm sitting there, you know, and my career is in health and fitness. Like that's what I do. CrossFit Games, you know, health fitness advocator, like a influencer. But that's like, that's what I did. Like, that's my bread and butter. That's what I'm going home to. And this is my second actress job or acting job, and do I want to do more? Yes. Am I working on that? Yes. But that wasn't and isn't my main focus, my cornerstone. And so I thought to myself, because I was just having all these feelings, and I thought, you know what? I'm just going to ask this guy. And I don't even care if like it rubs him the wrong way in a way for me to ask this question. And I looked at him and I was like, can I just ask you a question? He's like, yeah. And I go, why am I not out there? They have all the Amazons, all the extras, everyone in this scene, except for two of us. Me and Harry.
And you're both very muscular.
Harry is like my friend. And Harry, I hope you're listening to this. I love you. I miss you. She's from Wales. She is a detective in Wales. She's a specimen of a human. And beautiful. Tall. Anyways.
Ripped.
We're sitting there and I just go, why aren't you using me? Like, why am I here in full kit? If you're not using me, I just needed to know. Cause this is my first time, second time, but like, this is a whole new world for me. You know, I don't understand. And I started to understand the fact that it's like, it's not my job, nor is it my right, honestly, especially like the level of totem pole I'm on, to know what's going on, to know what the vision is. It's like, I'm there to do my job, but I just needed to know. And I said, I just don't, like, why am I not out there? Like, even if I'm in the background, just, like, use me. I just want to be, I want to be a part of it, you know? And he said, he goes, just look out there. And he goes, look at all of the girls. Might I add, I think I was the only blonde. Like, with really, there was maybe like one or two other ones, but for the most part, I was really the only blonde. I had really long blonde curls, like, big hair. And he said, everyone out there is interchangeable. He's like, if I just put you in this scene, just to put
you'll
you in.
You'll stand out.
He's like, you'll stand out too much and draw too much attention to yourself. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I get it. Thank you. Like, just thanks for telling me. And then that was when I kind of understood too. I mean, I did understand this doing Wonder Woman, but I actually got to have a conversation with someone who like, they have the vision, right? he's making the film, where it made the most sense. You have to set the whole scene, like the world of what's happening has to be so big, even though the moment of what you want people to be paying attention to is like this one small part in the whole thing. So if I would have been in the background somewhere, one, I'm just so happy he didn't just throw me in there, just throw me in. Like, I don't want to be in the background. He told me, he's like, if for you to be, he's like, you can't just be in a scene just to be there. You're going to have to play a role that cannot live without you. And that made me feel very good.
Yeah.
And it helped me understand, like, oh, thank you. It's so right.
It's a compliment.
And it's a compliment. And like, okay, now I'm not as upset that I'm just sitting here not being, like, not getting the experience or the opportunity to be a part of it. Because that's how I was feeling. Like, oh, I'm here. Like, use me. And he just, you know, it made sense too. It's like, if I were to be in the background when, and if I were to draw the attention, like the viewer's attention away from what we needed them to pay attention to, where we wanted the focus, which was down by the mother box where the girls were talking, because you can see not super, super well because they're in the background. You can see all the Amazons. It's like, it's to create this whole feeling of like tons of Amazon warriors.
Yeah, they're just background.
Like, protecting, you know, what's going on. I could have like really ruined that moment and potentially maybe not ruined the moment, but in his mind, in his vision, I would have taken away from what he needed the audience to be understanding and feeling.
To be focused on.
Yes.
Right. That's interesting. I want to go back and watch it now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's true. It's like in those scenes, you're not necessarily looking at anything else.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you see the vision. You see there's a ton of people. But yeah, I could see that, like, maybe having this like one super buffed blonde chick in the back might be distracting.
Well, and I can't remember, it was a long time ago. I can't remember if I actually said this to him or had this conversation or if I maybe had it with someone else. But I feel like I probably was ballsy enough that I said it to him. I said, it was frustrating that, like, in this whole, especially at that time, it was like the Me Too, it was very like women focused everywhere, right? I said it was very frustrating that there's this idea or movement for like strong women. And I said, and it's like this
without really representing strong women.
Well, no, it's more so like everyone wants to say strong women, like all the magazines, strong women. And then, but when it comes down to it, people, it seemed like the safe thing to do is still just to pick what you think will sell the most.
Right.
And I said, I could understand that because it's money and like everything costs money. And like when people are putting so much money into a project or a movie or a show or whatever, you're really trying to, like, maybe you want to go out on a limb and you want to like portray a character different than what the norm is or what people would expect.
But you're still trying to appeal to the masses.
You're still trying to think about like the box office. Like,
right.
There has to be a return. And as a director, it's like, there has to be a return because you need to get more jobs.
Right.
And so it's a mess. It's a worm, you know, a box of worms.
It's a wormhole.
Wormhole. And I'm just happy
it's a box of worms.
It's a box. What's the phrase?
Can of worms?
Can of worms. I'm so stupid.
Well, it's a wormhole?
It's a wormhole.
It's a can of worms.
Yeah, it's a box of worms.
Hey, guys, it's a box of worms.
But yeah, and it's like on one hand, it's like, well, I'm just happy that that's not my career because that would be tough. Like if you wanted to, you know, do something different or, you know, go out on a limb and try something different that hasn't really been done and go against the norm, you're taking a lot of risk. And your risk is with a bunch of people are going to go and watch this and you hope that they enjoy it and you have a job after that.
But I think too, you know, just responding to that, I think that there is a problem within women. If we're really honest, that even there's been so many times that I've been with you in a situation and watched other women look at you in a way that's like, oh, she's too muscular.
Oh yeah, judge me.
Judge you.
Judgy.
And I think that if you're really a woman that really wants to support other women, you will support other women of all different body types,
shape, size,
everything. And I think that too many women are like, yeah, I'm, you know, I'm for women. And
no, dude, women are harder on women than men are.
I do believe that. I mean, I can't speak for men, but it seems like it.
Yeah.
There's been so many times when, like I said, you and I have been together and we've gone somewhere and, you know, you see a group of catty girls and they all like look over and like whisper.
Oh yeah.
Or do something. In fact, it was funny because when we were so many times, I'm so used to it. So, when we were in LA and you had your nose thing, you know, you've got your freaking nose cast and your black eyes. And I would notice all these people like staring at you. And I was like, you know, I'm just realizing that they're staring at you because of your nose. I'm so used to people staring at you regardless that it just occurred to me that they're staring because you have a nose cast and two black eyes.
Yep.
So I feel like you deal with that a lot, and mostly, I mean, definitely men, but also women, a huge percentage of that.
Oh yeah.
I remember in San Francisco feeling very protective, and I am not a tough person, but there are times when I will be very protective and
show her claws.
show
your claws.
Yeah, show my claws. And I might have told this story already, but we were in San Francisco, gosh, I don't know what it was, 2015, and I think we were celebrating our friend's birthday.
Was it the coffee festival?
No. It was a friend's birthday.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. And so we went there and we walked into this one bar and we were going to go. We were just, you know, seeing if there was any room there. And we walked in and there was this table of women. There were a couple men. And they were so obviously talking about you and whispering about you. I just remember looking at them and I just put my finger up and I went, uh-uh. Mm-mm. Like, that's how tough I am.
You are tough. She's always like, it's so funny because she's like, you know, the joke.
And they all looked at me like, oh shit, she saw me. And I was like, yeah, fuck you guys. Like, don't talk about my girl.
Oh yeah. She's like, she'll tell you like, she, you know, if there's anything, her natural reaction is to, you know, the world is a dangerous place and like run away. But I've told her, I'm like, dude, yes, but there are times like moments like that where Gina gets, she gets tough.
I get pissed.
Yeah. And like, you know, I love it.
I just try to use my height. Yeah. I get real tall.
These legs are powerful. Yeah. Yeah. I was going to read this response. So do you guys remember when we were talking about hiccups and Gina was like, hey, message us and tell us like, how do you get rid of hiccups?
Yeah.
This is from Corey Walsh. She said, getting rid of hiccups. So this works 100% of the time.
Whoa. Oh, wow.
100% of the time.
Okay. We're going to put it to the test.
My daughter and I have violent hiccups. They're loud and they hurt. Dude, I hate those ones.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So what you do is take a pen or pencil and you bite on it like a horse bit in your mouth. Oh, in your molars. So across, like horizontal in your mouth. And you drink a full glass of water over the sink. It's a little messy. Drink until the water's gone and your hiccups will be gone.
What? I can't wait to get hiccups just to
please,
try
please, please tell the world about this trick. Oh, we doing
oh,
it.
Oh, we told
we
them.
We doing it, Corey. It works in an instant. Love you both, Corey Walsh.
Oh, love you too.
Dude,
thank
love you.
You.
So you put it in your mouth like a this? Horse bit.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then drink water over the sink. Instant relief.
Okay.
Any of you, if you have hiccups and you try this and you get instant relief, please let us know. Please email us in because
we're gonna let Corey
says 100% of the time. 100%. Works 100% every time.
We believe her.
Works every time, 100% of the time. All right. You guys, thanks for listening to us talk about penises and museums and
female empowerment.
Female empowerment and Hollywood. And don't forget to
rate, review, subscribe,
five star rating, five star warning.
And we're going to talk to you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. To serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.